Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Hey, Tenderfoot listeners, Dennis Cooper here. If you're a fan of Culpable, then you know we normally focus on one case for an entire season, like the season one case of Christian Andreacchio and the season two case of Brittany Stikes. As I continue working on season three, I'll be using this platform to help more families in their fight for justice. Last fall, I brought you 6 cases over 6 weeks. Now, I'm bringing you 5 more. From Tenderfoot TV, another installment of Culpable Case Review is available now. Check out this clip.
So she jumped over her friend into the driver's seat, hit the gas. Her foot did not let off the gas. She hit a mailbox. I think she rolled into a tree, and she was already dead.
From Tenderfoot TV, Culpable Case Review is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts or subscribe to Tenderfoot Plus for early access and ad-free listening. Learn more at tenderfootplus.com.
Rattled and Shook is released weekly, every Thursday, and brought to you absolutely free. But if you want to listen ad-free, subscribe to Tenderfoot Plus at tenderfootplus.com or on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get exclusive bonus episodes. For more information, check out the show notes. Now, enjoy the episode.
And now, presenting Rattled and Shook.
Hi, I'm April.
And I'm Meredith, and this is Rattled and Shook,
a podcast where we tune into scary stories and discuss our deepest, darkest fears.
But in a fun way.
Oh, shoot. But in a fun way. Oh, my God. I forgot that I had anything else to say. Wow. I actually totally forgot.
We haven't recorded in a couple weeks.
For a split second, I was like, wait, how do we go into it from here? Maybe the reason that I'm not mentally there entirely is I'm in my childhood bedroom right now. Mm-hmm. So I think I've regressed a little naturally.
Specifically her closet.
Yeah, I'm in my closet of my childhood bedroom right now.
I see a lot of tote bags. I see a wristlet.
You haven't seen the good stuff.
Oh, I have seen the good stuff. Meredith gave me a little tour of the house.
Yeah, I guess. So before we get into the first scary stories of this episode, I did give April a tour of my parents' house, which included such infamous stops as the coffin stair.
It was terrifying.
Yes. It's a classic, childhood classic.
You also have a classic horror movie swirly staircase happening. And with a very tall ceiling.
This is why I couldn't watch horror movies growing up, because I was like, I live in the house.
Mm-hmm. You live in the horror movie house.
Yes. I'm like, it's going to happen here. It's too real.
Yeah.
But anyway, here's what I wanted to show you, April. I've got my Alice doll that I've told you about that's just very creepy.
Oh, it's there.
Get ready for Alice.
Okay. Alice has like a printed face.
She's got like haunting eyes.
Mm-hmm. You can barely see any features but her eyes. I think that's what makes it creepier.
But imagine this at the end of your bed.
No, thank you.
Maybe I'll take her back to LA with me.
So she can sit on the end of your bed and stare at you at night?
No, she can sit on the... No, she'll see. No. No, she'll see. No, so she can sit at the end of your bed. That took me 5 tries to say.
But yeah, it was fun to see just creepy little creepsakes around Meredith's house, like the bust her brother made of himself, the self-bust.
He made a self-bust. He did. It is actually a hangable self-bust.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wall hanging.
It is. I'm going to say, I don't want to insult anyone.
Go for it.
It is horrific. It's pretty horrific.
It's like it's so scary, the placement, too. It's like you come around a corner.
And it looks like it's emerging from the wall.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
The way it's hanging.
I'll take a picture before I leave
mm-hmm.
of Alice, too. And the coffin stare.
The raven.
Oh, yeah. The raven.
The jack in the boxes.
The jack in the boxes.
The Mardi Gras mask.
The other head. So if you have, you know, we've asked for these before. Please keep sending us the weird shit in your house.
Yeah. We haven't gotten to a lot of them, but we want to. We're going to. It's going to happen.
Keep them coming. Keep them coming.
Please do.
All right. On topic. Let's get on topic.
Okay. So the topic this week is Glitch in the Matrix.
I love glitches in the Matrix. That's mm-hmm. like one of my favorite categories of like horror story. I would like it to happen to me. If anyone has like a particle accelerator or something.
Mm. What brand of glitch do you want? There's
ooh,
so
do I
many.
Want to happen to me?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'd take like anything.
There's like jumping forward or back in time.
Like really intense deja vu situations.
Or like in this episode, things appearing in mm-hmm. odd places.
Mm-hmm. Or like, I guess some of them can be like doppelganger related or like people saying that you said something and you don't remember saying that, but everyone else remembers you saying that.
Yeah. Like losing time.
Yeah. Like losing time and losing memory. Maybe the reason I like it so much is I think it's like relatable in a very real way too. Like there's oftentimes like pretty logical, you know, explanations for these things, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
getting super wasted at a party. You might jump time. You mm-hmm. might glitch that matrix.
Oh, yeah. You might lose a lot of time, or you lose time initially and then it all comes back to you in waves the next day as you deal with crippling anxiety.
As you deal with the Sunday scaries.
Mm-hmm.
But hey.
But hey.
There's actually nothing else I can say after that. Should we just glitch in the matrix forward into the story?
You know, it would be funny if we just looped back. So in this episode, we're doing glitch in the matrix. And then we just kept looping until everyone stopped listening.
Let's not do that, though. I guess on that note, get ready to hear a few glitchy stories. Actually, one of them is told by the person that experienced it. And the other one was sent in by a listener.
Yeah, we got some good ones. Some good glitchy stories here.
All right, let's do it.
Let's glitch out.
My story starts back in the summer of 2007. I was entering into my senior year of high school along with my good buddies Will and Zach. We decided we were going to spend the next few months working to make some cash, you know, before we went back to school. We noticed the McDonald's on Highway 55 was hiring, and I was pretty sure we could score a job there. So one day we went in to apply. And this is before the workforce had turned to online applications. You had to go in and actually fill out a paper one at this point in time. So the three of us walked in one afternoon and asked to speak to a manager. I mentioned the huge help wanted sign in the window outside and said we'd like to apply. The supervisor was visibly ecstatic and rushed to grab us, you know, applications and pens. She said her name was Chevelle, like the classic car, and that she was very glad we came in. She sat down with us at the table while we filled out the applications and explained how things worked around there. And after we finished the paperwork, she gave us a small tour around the store, introducing us to the other workers and going over the different stations and duties of each team member. She then excitedly asked us what hours we were available to work and you know, how soon we could start. They were apparently pretty short-staffed and needed as much help as they could get, as soon as possible. And we all agreed that we could start as soon as she wanted us to. Needless to say, we got the job. Chevelle told us to come in the next day at 3 p.m., and she instructed us to wear white shirts and black pants. The next day, we showed up on time, dressed accordingly, And now here's where things get weird. We went to the counter and asked the girl at the register for Chevelle. And she gave us a confused look. And so I repeated myself. Chevelle, you know, the manager, we were told to come in today for training. Still looking very confused, the girl told me that there was no Chevelle there. I couldn't believe it. I thought, she has to be playing some kind of game with me, right? So I just asked to speak to whatever manager was there. And she went to the back and returned with a supervisor who immediately, and almost rudely, asked, "What can I do for you?" I explained that my friends and I were just there yesterday, and we'd applied and were hired by a manager named Chevelle. And just like the girl at the register, she said, "We don't have a manager by that name." I looked around the very open kitchen behind the counter to see if any of the other workers we met the day before were there. Surely someone, you know, could vouch for us. Someone had to have been here. But as I searched for a familiar face in the back, I didn't recognize a single person from the staff I'd met before. It actually started to give me goosebumps. And I looked to Will and Zach for some kind of, you know, reassurance. I asked them, "That was her name, right? Chevelle?" They both had the same look of dumbfounded shock that I did. But they confirmed, that was her name. I couldn't be making this up. They saw who I saw. They spoke to the same woman I spoke to. All three of us. It would be different if we were simply told, you know, she isn't here today or she's no longer with us. How is it possible that less than 24 hours later, suddenly, no one even knows who she is? And the staff is completely different. I asked the manager if she could search for our applications. I thought, you know, okay, maybe they could at least still be there. She disappeared for a moment, only to come back and announce that she couldn't find them. As a last resort, a Hail Mary of attempts, I even asked if she could check the cameras. Maybe then she would see that we were telling the truth. She simply replied that she didn't have access to those. So that was it. I did everything I could think of. There wasn't a single trace that we'd even been there at all. As absurd as this all was, I finally just asked if it was possible that we still had the job. That, unfortunately, was also a no. I think we'd finally weirded her out enough. The manager asked if there was anything else she could help us with, and then walked away before we could even really answer. The three of us went outside and headed towards the bus stop, just still in a daze of confusion. No one really said anything. It was almost as if we were too afraid to discuss it any further, but we all had the same expression on our face. An expression that can only be described as a "what the fuck was that" look. To this day, I still can't explain what happened or how. Were we hired by a ghost? Were we in some kind of alternate reality the day before? But then things went back to normal the next afternoon. When I tell people this story, they never believe it. They just laugh or ask if we were on drugs. Honestly, I might not have believed it myself if I didn't have two of my friends experiencing the exact same thing at the exact same time.
Shout out to Danny Blaze at Wimp Media for this one. It's a funny name.
Danny Blaze?
Danny Blaze. Do you know him?
Wait. What am I thinking of? Johnny Blaze?
Do you know Danny Blaze?
Yeah, I know Danny.
Mm-hmm.
We know each other in another timeline.
Oh, that's, you guys know each other in another timeline?
That's how
timeline.
I know Danny.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Anyway, cool stuff.
Yeah, cool story. Legitimately cool story.
And I imagine kind of maddening to experience something like this. Like, at least he wasn't alone in experiencing it. Because if this just happened to me, I'd be like, I guess I'm checking myself in somewhere.
Yeah, it's like maddening in several ways because it's like psychologically upsetting and they're like kids that just wanted to get a job. I feel like it's demoralizing.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can't go back there and eat. We need to go back there and eat.
Yeah, it'd have to be drive-through.
Not with the same staff.
I guess you have to wait for Chevelle to reappear. I think it's just based on this woman's name, you know, and how he references a Chevelle car. But I had a thought. I was like, what if they retro glitched? Like, what if it was a travel back in time situation?
Yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
You know, did it look like American Graffiti in there? Was everyone on roller skates?
Were kids sipping sodas in the corner booth, listening to the jukebox?
Playing pennies? Playing quarters? What are they playing?
Playing pennies? I think it's quarters. Tic-tac-toe? What do they do? Jacks? Mm-hmm. What do they do?
Dominoes?
Greasing things?
You know, while singing along to Buddy Holly?
The Beach Boys?
Yeah.
I forgot where we were going.
I don't know. I was like, what if this was a time traveling glitch?
I mean, I guess when I'm thinking about all the theories, I'm like, okay, there's the glitch, obviously. That's like the big theory. And then it's like, otherwise, the thing that came to my mind was, did they go to the wrong location?
Mm.
That's really what came to my mind. I was like, did they just go to the wrong location?
Right. Maybe they went to like a Wendy's instead of Taco Bell or something. If anyone knows the Vine I'm referencing, please write in. The thing is, though, like, it's in their town. Like, why would they?
Exactly. No, it's also far-fetched. Like, they're all kind of like, that's why this one's a believable glitch in the Matrix story in a fun way.
It's very hard to explain this one. Maybe they don't recognize a single person because it was a different shift. I don't know. There's no Chevelle here. I mean,
we could kick this up a notch, too. It's like, what if, and this is pretty dark, and it kind of reminds me of that other story, Kanab. But what if there was a mutiny and they killed Chevelle? What if the staff killed Chevelle and that's why the new manager was blowing them off so much and like kind of wanted them out of there?
Because they had staged a mutiny.
Maybe like they had just committed a huge crime. You know, I think I'm more concerned about like the we don't know Chevelle.
Right.
And there's a new manager. I think like you could explain there being a shift change and having totally different staff.
Or that they went to Burger King instead of Wendy's.
Yes, but that is less fun.
Mm-hmm.
But yes.
I like the mutiny idea.
Yeah.
I mean, not for Chevelle, because Chevelle, means Chevelle's tied up in the back.
Rip Chevelle.
Oh, Chevelle's dead.
Oh, I think Chevelle's gone.
Okay. I think Chevelle's We're going gone. Real dark.
This I don't think Chevelle is with us anymore.
I definitely thought I was going to go there where they're like, oh, Chevelle was an employee in 1957. Look, this is her, you know, employee of the month plaque.
You went like The Shining with it, you know, where it's like they look at a picture on the wall.
They zoom in and then an old
Wendy's
50s tune is playing. Yep.
Yeah. 1953.
And she's holding up a McFlurry.
It's the first square burger ever. What restaurant is this? We've been referencing every single.
I think of McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's. I'm going to say it's McDonald's.
I think it's Wendy's.
Fine.
Anyway, good theories.
I hope Chevelle is safe.
I hope Chevelle is safe too, for the record.
Yeah.
Actually, not me. No, it's more fun.
More fun for Chevelle to be dead.
I'm just kidding. No, I hope Chevelle is totally fine. And Danny, I'm sorry you didn't get that job.
I know. I hope you got a job.
At Wimp Media. I hope you got a job at Wimp Media and it looks like you did.
Is that his company?
Or maybe that's your company. Whatever it is, Danny, it sounds better than flipping burgers, unless that is what Wimp Media does. And in that case, congrats.
He opened a burger joint called Wimp Media.
That is so funny. I hope you did.
Well, I'm glad you're employed now, Danny.
No, Wimp Media is cannabis, comedy, cars, food, sports plus movies. Or sorry, sports plus more. Your boy, Danny Blaze.
Danny, no shade, but this sounds like Entertainment 720.
No, it looks legit. They've got cool marketing.
Cool.
Okay, now that I'm seeing Danny Blaze, you say weed is my personality? Hold on. New theory unlocked.
Oh, Blaze. That makes so much sense.
Were you guys high as hell, Danny?
Danny and his friends were smoking a J in the parking lot.
That sounded so natural coming off of your tongue, April.
Smoking a J.
Yeah.
That sound like a cool grandpa.
Mm.
Well, it looks like we have a new front runner for these theories.
Yeah, I'd say so. And you wouldn't be the first. If you got a little high and then just tripped into another reality, look, you're not alone.
That's how people travel the astral plane. man.
April would know. Oh, would you look at that? It's ad time.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Here's another story.
I was getting ready to go on a flight from JFK to LAX. I live in New York and I was going to visit my parents in LA. I was already late to go to the airport. And I remember I was in a huge rush. It was really cold outside, so I was trying to get all my coats and sweaters on. As I was zipping up my coat and like getting my bag ready, I felt my ring fall off of my pinky finger. My apartment has hardwood floors, and this ring, it was like a small piece of metal. It's silver. In the front of the ring was twisted into an infinity shape, a little like sideways eight. It was like the metal clank hitting the hardwood. It was like I heard the clank, and then I heard the sound of something metal rolling. So it sounded like what happened is that it hit the hardwood and started rolling either away from me or behind me or something into the corner of the apartment. I kind of heard it stop too. I thought about looking for it and then I was like, you know what? No, I really don't have time. My roommates will find it or I'll find it when I get back. It's in my apartment. Like, it's not going to go anywhere. I had no doubts. I had no doubts that it was in my apartment. So I go to the airport. And, you know, I took a cab to the airport, so I'm moving around a lot and get my bag there, go through security, which involves taking off all my coats and sweaters and my shoes and going through the metal detectors and the X-ray machines and everything, and then getting my coats back on after I get through.
I got on the plane, and I remember it was kind of an empty flight, so I had a whole row to myself as well. You know, I had taken off my coat, and I was using the whole row to, like, lay down and move around a lot during this lengthy flight. I had layers, too, and I remember I took them on and off as well. It would get hot and cold on the plane quite a bit. After about 6-7 hours, we land in LA. I get all my stuff. I don't put my coat back on because it's warmer in LA. And I go outside to go meet my mom, who's picking me up. As she pulls up her car and is getting out of the car to hug me, something falls off of me. My mom points out what just fell. She's like, oh, you just dropped your ring. I pick it up, and it is the same ring that I lost when I was in New York that I physically heard hit the ground and roll into a corner. It has somehow made it to LA with me, and I have absolutely no explanation for how this happened. But somehow, it was there. I felt like I was crazy. I know I left it back in New York. I know I did. But it was right in front of me. I couldn't deny it. It really just felt like it was spit out of nowhere, slipped down my arm, and then hit the pavement right next to me. It's been years, and I still don't have an answer. Logical reason would probably be that it was on me somewhere, even though there were many, many, many situations where it should have fallen off of me throughout the whole 7-8 hour journey. Not so logically, more creepy. I kind of like to think of it as quantum mechanics. Whenever, you know, glitches in the matrix like this happen, people always kind of think like, oh, well, you jumped into a universe where you didn't lose the ring. We can only see things in the third dimension, right? We see time as a flat line. In the fourth dimension, for instance, time is not a flat line. You see time as it was, as it is, and as it will be. You can see a person's entire life just by looking at them. And you start getting to the fifth dimension, the sixth dimension, and that's parallel realities. And when you get up to the 10th dimension, that's being in all the realities at once. So when I was about 14 years old, I used to volunteer at a nursing home in San Diego. And it was like a very classic nursing home volunteer job. They had me calling bingo numbers. There were all of the offices down in the basement, and then there were about 6 floors where the residents were. Volunteers would always check in the basement and lock their stuff up in a filing cabinet down there and then go about their shift. And since this was about 2004, 2005, I had locked my little Samsung flip phone in the filing cabinet in this nursing home, and I was fine being without it for the 5 hours of my shift because somehow that was a thing that we were fine with back then. So I was calling bingo numbers, and I hear a ringtone. And I'm looking around, and the room is very quiet. No one's really, like, budging or even looking around thinking, like, whose phone is ringing. I'm hearing this phone ringing super loudly, and then it stops. A few minutes pass, and it happens again. Just as loud, no one budges. And I'm thinking, like, how is no one hearing this if I'm hearing it so loudly? Like, I know they're older, but their hearing can't be that bad. Like, it's really loud. You know, I ignore it. I keep on going. Bingo ends, and I'm talking to one of the nurses, and I hear it again. This time, since I'm in front of someone, I say, whose phone is that ringing? It keeps going off. And she's like, I don't hear anything. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, it's really loud. It's someone's phone is ringing. About 2 hours later, I go downstairs. It's the end of my shift, and I'm getting my stuff. And I have 3 missed calls from the time that I was on the third floor calling bingo, and they were all from my mother. They were spaced out in the approximate time that I was hearing the ringing. I want to stress that my phone was in the basement and I was calling bingo numbers on the third floor. So there were 3-4 floors between me and my phone. And I called my mom back and I was like, is everything okay? Like, I was like, is this some sort of like message from the universe that this was an important call? And it was just her calling to check what I was doing. I swear, I have no explanation for it. And I've told this story to so many people and everyone's like, oh, maybe you heard it through the air vents or something like that. But I was 3 floors up. That's impossible. I honestly think that I was just like weirdly psychically linked with my phone. Maybe I had something with rings. What's the universe trying to tell me?
So this story is from a real person, if you couldn't tell, that was interviewed by a Tenderfoot producer. So this is a real story. What do you think? What are your theories here?
So it was pretty interesting, actually, because in the original recording, she throws out kind of a few different quantum physics theories. We just couldn't include everything for time's sake.
Yeah.
But something she referenced was the double slit experiment.
I don't know what that is.
So basically, it's an experiment where electrons are fired through a panel with 2 slits in it, and the electrons pass through the 2 slits and form a pattern on the wall behind it. But they attempt the experiment a few different times, and in one of the attempts, they place a detector near the slits to see which electrons are passing through which slits. And when they did that, the electrons actually behaved differently.
When observed?
Yeah.
Versus when not observed, they do something different?
Yeah, they're sneaky little electrons. I don't know.
All right.
So this ties in with the observer effect, but I like another example of this more. It's not the same, but it's related to the observer effect, and it's called Schrodinger's cat. Have you ever heard of that one?
Yes, I do know Schrodinger's cat, but definitely yeah. Still explain it. Not for me, of course, because I totally know what it is.
Mm-hmm. Meredith is an amateur quantum physicist.
Yeah, I just want other people to also know, you know.
So Schrodinger's cat, it's a thought experiment. And it's basically saying you put a cat in a box with like a vial of poison. You close the box. If you leave the cat in that box, you could either assume the cat is totally fine and alive or that it broke the vial, released the poison, and the cat has now died.
Yeah.
So basically, when you don't know, when you keep the box closed, both realities are possible. But when you open the box and observe whether the cat is alive or dead, all other possibilities fall away and you're only left with the one reality. By observing, you basically create the truth, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. So I guess like how this maps onto the rings is that she's saying, you know, one of the possibilities in these theoretical terms is that she somehow was able to observe both possibilities?
Yeah, I think so. And in the story, she does talk about the different dimensions and existing in multiple universes at once and all that. But I also wonder if it's something where, you know, if she just walked over, picked up the ring, put it on her finger, and like observed it in that way, it would have made the other possibility fall away. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I did want to shout it out because she was throwing out some very interesting concepts there.
Another amateur quantum physicist just like me.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of this one? The story overall?
It's one of those interesting stories to me where sometimes like the mundane ones are kind of my favorite. Like I think I really loved that story about the lone desk in the middle of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a ghost. There's not an entity. There's nothing really threatening. It's just the idea that weirdness can happen.
Yeah.
Like inexplicable weirdness.
I think you've said this before to me. The things that scare you the most are like things that shouldn't be where they are at that time and place. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Your mind can spin like wild when that happens.
Yeah.
Even like the reappearing of things. It's like, did someone put that there? Mm-hmm. Did I put that there? And did I forget? Did I like forget a whole chunk of time? Like you can spiral out even when it comes to like pretty grounded explanations. The grounded explanations are also kind of freaky.
Yeah. Did I put that desk in the woods? Did I forget?
Did I forget that I made that underground laboratory in the forest? I mean, I think there's other logical, less interesting things that could maybe be used to explain this, but it's just not as fun.
Yeah.
Like, maybe she didn't hear what she thought she heard. I do think there's so much that can be explained with a lot of scary stories where it's like the real confusion is not the climax. It's not the moment. It's actually everything before it that was like our brain playing a trick.
Right.
You know, you heard something else. You thought you heard something. You filled in gaps. But those things didn't happen. That was actually the deception. So I think that's possible too.
Yeah. Well, we fill gaps in our memories all the time. And it's very easy to fill gaps in the memory with like false information because we just need to connect the dots.
Yeah.
Sort of. Yeah.
Oh boy. Yeah, I've definitely looked into that a lot for like true crime podcasts and stories and stuff.
Like witness accounts or witness like confessions. Accounts. Yeah.
Yeah. And how much memory is sometimes a fallacy. But yeah, that's why I love the Glitch in the Matrix story. It's always like a fun thought experiment.
It is. And you haven't experienced one.
No, I'm waiting. Like,
yeah,
let's go.
You just chomping at the bit.
Red pill.
Red pill.
Yeah. The Matrix.
Oh.
Take the red pill.
I know, but that's like a whole movement appropriated by.
What'd you say?
You know, the red pill movement, right?
No.
Oh, we don't have to get into that yet.
Oh, wait, should I know? Like, maybe we not look shouldn't up, put that in.
Look up red pill. You'll see a lot of things.
Oh, God. What did I do? Oh, God. Is red pill, blue pill now politicized?
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, red pill is.
Can't you just let me have the Matrix?
I know.
Just let me have it.
That's a whole other part of Glitch in the Matrix stuff, though, is simulation theory, which is what the Matrix is all about.
Yeah.
That's something that my dad would always say to me growing up. He's like, you know, we could just be puddles of ooze hooked up to a computer, thinking we're walking around and living life.
We're just playing The Sims.
Yep. You know what? Take the red pill back. We're taking it back.
Reclaiming the pills. Those are our pills. Stop touching our pills.
My pills. Not your pills.
Not your pills. Do you want to make a t-shirt? I don't want to make a t-shirt, but you should.
Okay. What did we talk about today? Did you want to say something else?
Nope, let's cut.
We know what you want. Another ad. Right?
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Do you ever wish you could become a detective and help find the clues to the case? How about all of that in a mobile game that you can take anywhere? In June's Journey, each scene leads to a new thrilling storyline. Uncover the mystery of June's sister's murder and find out about scandalous family secrets. The gameplay lets you find hidden clues as you investigate a murder mystery. Escape to a bygone age of mystery, danger, and romance. Let your imagination run wild when decorating your island estate and collect scraps of information to fill your photo album and learn more about each character. Whether you're craving a good mystery or looking for an escape, you can immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. I travel so much while working that I personally love to play it while sitting around airports with all that free time I have. Can you crack the case? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
The Hargan women seem to have it all.
From the outside looking in, we were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But as detectives would soon learn, there was a lot going on inside the Hargan household.
Ashley and I have been calling my mom and the house and Helen. No one's answering.
63-year-old Pamela Hargan gunned down in her own home. Her youngest daughter, Helen, lay dead upstairs.
Patrol, when they arrived, assumed or thought that there might have been a murder-suicide.
But for the detectives on the scene...
There were things about the scene itself that were concerning to us on day one.
Who would want to kill their mother and their little sister?
There is no boogeyman here. It is exactly who we think it is.
I'm Peter Van Sant from 48 Hours. This is Blood is Thicker, the Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, the Hargan Family Killings, wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's tune in to another story.
This just happened the other day. I was feeling sick, so I grabbed a book from the shelf and took a hot bath. This book is part of a series of essays on music theory and practice. About 10 years ago, I had a different copy of this same book. I traveled with it and read it cover to cover, completely destroying it to the point that eventually it had to be discarded. It had been soaked and dried several times, pages falling out. I even scribbled notes in the margins. This book changed my life, and I remember wishing I had taken better care of that particular copy. I had sort of forgotten all of this when I grabbed this copy off the shelf to head to the bath. I had picked up the copy that I currently have, the one I was reading in the bath, at a bookstore about 2 years ago. I remember finding it on a shelf way in the back and feeling excited. It was practically brand new. I flipped through it but could not remember if it was the same volume as I had before. I bought it anyways because it's a great series. Jump back to me in the bath. I'm flipping through the essays. Things are seeming more and more familiar, really grabbing me and stirring my memory. I realize, hey, this is that volume. Hell yes! I'm so glad I have this material again. And I remember the tattered old copy that I used to have. As I'm having this memory, I turn a page and out of the book falls a train ticket from 6 years ago. The ticket is from my hometown to a large city in my area. I got chills because I've only had this particular copy of this book for about 2 years. The ticket is weathered, apparently older than the book it was in. It must just be from someone else who made that same trip, I thought. But I turned over the ticket, and my name was on it. I don't know how this is possible, but that pristine copy from the bookstore had a train ticket with my name on it from 6 years ago, when I had the original copy that was destroyed. I remember that train trip going to see the Dalai Lama. I definitely had the book with me on the trip. Several other minor things that happened around that time have me wondering if I didn't just step over to the reality next door while I had a fever.
Okay, I don't normally throw shade at stories, but it seems possible that she just forgot she was using it as a bookmark. Excuse me if you can hear that. That's bats outside my window.
Bats? Oh my God. Your house is literally the haunted mansion.
Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of.
You ever gotten a bat inside?
Nah. Aren't we all vaccinated against that now?
Against
<Just kidding>.
Vampirism? I'm glitching.
I'm glitching so hard right now. I'm glitching out real hard right now.
What's going to happen to this episode?
Rattled and Shook is a Tenderfoot TV production in partnership with Odyssey. Executive producers are Donald Albright and Payne Lindsay. Co-executive producer is Meredith Stedman. Hosted and produced by April Ruha and Meredith Stedman. Lead editor and sound designer is April Ruha. Additional production by Sean Nerney. Production management by Tracy Kaplan and Jordan Foxworthy. Original score by Makeup and Vanity Set. Original art by Puppy Teeth. Follow us on social media at Rattled and Shook.